Been looking forward to doing this for a long time. You know what they say about black quarterbacks, right? Well, they don't say much now, but back in the late 60s and early 70s, Chuck Ealy, what did they say?
Well, they didn't say a lot. They just probably what they thought, and then one that the black quarterback couldn't engineer a team at that time, and so they stayed away from drafting black quarterbacks for the most part.
Okay, so let's take a step back, and your story is that you were undefeated at University of Toledo, you were undefeated in high school, you were an All-American quarterback, and there were no opportunities in 1972, which was your draft year, right, to play in the National Football League.
Right. I mean, I think they would have taken me as an athlete, which they did make some kind of offers after that to play wide receiver, defensive back. But for the most part, I was not on their radar to play quarterback.
And so it wasn't verbalized to you. It was an unspoken thing, which and were you aware of it, that probably you would never get an opportunity? Or were you sort of young and still hopeful that, hey, you know what, I can play?
Yeah, no, I was very much aware of it. I understood that because I ended up sending a letter via my agent to the NFL and sort of said, look, you know, respectfully, if you're going to draft me as a quarterback. And I think there was a great power because I had my education. So I wasn't really, my goal was never really to play professional football. And it sort of throws people aside by that.
And was your goal not to play professional football because you knew doors wouldn't be open for you as well, because you had already limited yourself knowing that the climate and the culture you lived in wasn't going to provide you with opportunities?
Well, not really. I think what happened is I wasn't looking at playing pro as I was going through my sophomore, junior year, and my senior year. When they came, I said, okay, I'll take a look at this, because I used my degree to get my education, and so that was all fulfilled, and I was pretty much going into a business world at that point. And then the opportunity came up for me to go to Canada.
Right, and that is the focus of the documentary Engraved on a Nation. This is number two in this amazing series. It's called Stone Thrower, yeah. which is significant. Now, I thought that was a great name because the nature of your situation, people throwing stones, you know, sticks and stones or whatever, and you were a quarterback, but it's more than that.
Yeah, it was more than that. I mean, one of the things that happened to me that I wanted to get better, and I would practice with my high school receivers, and then it would be over. So days when I had my day off or got there early, we'd have a rail train ran through our part of the city. I would go up to the track, and underneath the track were these stones that were uplifting the track. And the train would come through very slowly and pick up speed, and I would drop back as a quarterback and time out what a receiver would be by hitting that train. Now, it wasn't a modern train. It was a coal car.
I was going to say that in those days, especially an African-American throwing stones at a train, I mean, that could be reason for the law to show up.
Yeah, it could be, but the trains were big coal cars, so they were big black metal cars, so it couldn't hurt anything.
So you get a call from whom with the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
One of their recruiters at the time, it wasn't Ralph Sazio directly, but he was representing Ralph Sazio, and said, we put you on our negotiation list. We'd like you to come up and take a look at Canada and look at Hamilton.
And, I said, sure. And did you know anything at that point about Canada, Hamilton, the CFL?
I knew a little bit because, you know, Toledo's only about 45 minutes from Windsor as far as borders. So occasionally I saw a little bit, but I didn't study it. It wasn't really working with it.
Were you aware that Joe Theismann the year before had come up? I mean, he was a big name, college, white, everything that a quarterback was supposed to be in those days at Notre Dame.
Well, I had heard about it, but I didn't really understand or study the game to know that how much he played and what was happening with Joe. But that was a big...
Did you face any racism up here? I shouldn't say any, because I'm sure you did. What was the level of racism that you faced in the Canadian Football League from opposing players and your own players?
Well, be quite honest, I didn't. I
never, none
that I knew. I mean, directly. I honestly can't say that any city that I went into that I heard a name calling or anything that would sort of lean to that type of the area. But so I can't say that there was any.
What was the talent like in the CFL back then, 1972, as you would compare it to the National Football League?
Oh, it was pretty good, very comparable as far as the thing. Actually, the Canadian Football League at that time was paying more than the NFL as far as what they're paying for a player to play here. So
finish this statement before we wrap this up, Chuck. The reason why NFL general managers didn't think I could play was what?
Was that I didn't have the mind to operate and manage a team as a quarterback.
Wow, pretty profound. Pretty horrifying when you think it wasn't that long ago.
Yep.
And you look great.
Oh, well, thank you.